This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to Rooted and Robust Podcast.
Hello, people. How are you guys doing today? This is Rooted and Robust Podcast, and I am your host, Ozioma Anioji. And I am here again this week with another interesting episode. So, you know how we do it on Rooted and Robust Podcast. I always have a guest for you. And today, I have a medical doctor on the show today. And together, we're going to look at something that is common, not just among young people. I think this is really common among everyone. It's just a common thing. And we're going to be looking at sleep disorder called insomnia, the causes, the problems, the effects, all those things. So we're going to look at it together. And I have Dr. Adesina with me today. His name is Dr. Olushina. But then he's probably called the bearded doctor. I don't know why. He's probably going to tell us today why that is his nickname. Okay, so we're going to look at this topic together. And so welcome on the show, doctor. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very grateful. So it's an opportunity to be here with you, Ozzy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So let's start with the bearded doctor. Where did the name come from?
Okay, the bearded doctor. So I think it all started with back in university days. So I think I just joined Instagram then. And you know, those days when you have this little strands. So I decided, okay, let me just try something funky. I just changed my name to the bearded Sheena and all that.
So I
was like, okay, people were like, oh, that's very funny and all that. Then I got on Twitter. I think I got active on Twitter like 2 years ago. So I just joined active on Twitter 2 years ago, August 2020. So I pulled up the name, the bearded Dr. Sheena, you know, and then from, you know, little to it blew up, became popular on Twitter. I just thought, wow, since people like this so-called bearded guy,
as well, just leave it.
Keep my beard also, so I just thought to keep the name the bearded Dr. Sheena, which has become my nickname, and everyone knows me as the bearded Dr. Sheena.
Wow, I think I kind of like it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, wow. All right, today we want to look at insomnia, the sleep disorder. Now, so many people say you should sleep 10 hours, 5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. As adults, how many hours should we sleep? But before we get into that, first of all, let's even talk about why some people can't even sleep at all. Why is it that some people can't even sleep? Why is it that some people can't even have enough of sleep? Some stay awake all night. What is the cause of this issue?
Okay, so thank you very much for that question. So as you've said, insomnia, it's a disorder of sleep. So insomnia is a sleep problem. And ideally, as you asked, how many hours should people sleep? We as doctors and medical practitioners usually advocate for at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Now, one thing is, sleep is one process in the body that even the world of science is still trying to understand sleep. And sleep, in layman's term, is another way the body kind of refreshes, you know, revitalizes and re-energizes itself. So it's a cycle, and we have what we call a sleep-wake cycle. So as you sleep, as you wake up, there are certain chemicals called hormones that control every phase of that. Mm-hmm. And the way it works is that sleep is also connected in a way with a lot of system in the body. So I'm sure we'll come to that later. And that's why you see that people that have sleep problems, I have a high chance of having things like heart attack, you know, heart attack, hypertension, and all that. We'll still talk about that. But as you ask, some people don't sleep also. A lot of things we can talk about. Well, aging, the older you grow, the likelihood that your sleep patterns will change. So once you are getting over 60, 65, you notice that, and you know, a lot of them, one of the common complaints about for old people in the clinic, you see, they will call you and tell you, doctor, I have problems sleeping. So that one is physiological. As you grow older, you start having problems with sleep. And sometimes against stress. So depending on your work, stress also can mess with your sleep pattern. Let's take, for example, someone that is working late night shift, someone that is so stressed and pressured at work and all that. Yeah, another thing again is when you change location, so there's something called a circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. Now, what a circadian rhythm means is the way the body is built. If you are somewhere, there are chemicals that produce your night, that controls your night wake, your night sleeping, morning waking, and all that. But if you go to another place, so let's say now you travel to the United States and you're 6 o'clock and your body has apportioned that, okay, around this time,
you sleep.
It's night. You have sleep problem changing, but with time, the body then readjusts. So, but a few times when you change your location, someone can have sleep problems. Also, other things, there are some drugs. A lot of drugs that people abuse can actually cause sleep problems. Alcohol also. Alcohol can mess with your sleep patterns. People that smoke. So smoking also. So and then some other diseases, there are some mental problems that can present with that, some brain diseases and all that people can have problems sleeping. So I think that's an overview of some risk factors for sleep disorders.
Wow. Okay, so is there a way to prevent sleep disorder? I mean, you've talked about the causes of it. So if we don't change locations all the time, that part is eliminated. Now, there's nothing we can really do about age because we have to age. Aside that, are there things we could do that could prevent this sleep disorder?
Oh, yes. So, like you said, what can we really do? Now, a lot of time when people complain about sleep problem, they just expect you to prescribe a drug for them. But no, our first line is not drug. There's something called sleep hygiene. Now, sleep hygiene is some lifestyle modifying that we do to help you sleep well. So I'll just give a couple of sleep hygiene. When we are doing sleep hygiene, something we do is, one, we could counsel the patient that your television should not be in your bedroom. Because in the sleep wake cycle, light, the chemical in the body that helps is called melatonin that helps us to sleep well, is produced when there's darkness. So when there's light, that chemical goes down and the chemical is meant to help you sleep well. So you won't sleep well. You know, a lot of people have televisions in their room. Television is going to bring out bright light. It's going to reduce the production of that chemical and you won't sleep very well. Other thing we also tell the patient to do is reduce late night foods. When you eat food late at night, a lot of metabolic and so many things are going on in the body, and that can disturb your sleep also. Alcohol and cigarette, they have to go because some of this, they can act as both stimulants and all, and they can get you riled up and keep you up awake. One of the common stimulants that people take is caffeine, coffee. So a lot of times, one of the things we tell people that have sleep problems is, do you take coffee? When they say yes, we say, okay, you need to stop taking coffee. Yeah. Other thing is people should stop thinking about their problem before they go to bed. Think about your problem during the day. I know Nigeria is like, you know, there's a lot of stuff to think about. Yeah. But if you start thinking about your problems when you are in bed, you won't be able to get good sleep. I mean, that's very, very much logical. We also want to say good diet, avoid energy drinks. All these things are things that would stimulate you. Usually, you could have dim light in your room, so the light in your room can be dim. Also, eat healthy, try and reduce stress and all that, exercise, if you're obese, weight reduction. So this is what we call the non-medical, when you're not using drugs. And if we now have to use drugs, after all this have failed, so when all this non-medication management has failed, then we now go to medications, which I said is the last resort. Also, there are some therapies also you want to give the patient and all that which come before you try medication. So if all these are not working, we do some tests because there are some sleep tests we do on polysomnography. There are tests that you can do for people that have sleep problems and all that. Then you can go to medications, which I said it is last line. But we try not to prescribe medications for patients because some people, even they don't want to do lifestyle modification. And when they see that these drugs, are helping them sleep, they will just start buying those drugs, start taking the drug, and can get hooked up on those drugs because there are some of the drugs that have an addiction profile. People can get addicted to them. That's why there's been a lot of restriction and limitation of some of those sleeping pills.
Now, up on top of my head, I'm wondering, is sleep disorder hereditary, or is this just something anyone can pick up growing up?
Okay, so a very, very nice question. Now, studies have actually shown that there might be a possibility that people can actually inherit something like insomnia. So there have been hypotheses that and theories about some genes that we have mutation in some genes can influence sleep problem. But a majority of insomnia and problems with sleep actually has to do with the risk factor we mentioned earlier. But, you know, studies, the more as we go on studies, people are doing studies, technology, research, people are trying to understand sleep. And I alluded to that earlier, that sleep is one area in science that we as medical practitioners and the world of science is trying to understand. So, yes, there have been hypotheses and postulates that there is a genetic basis of insomnia in some people.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Wow. It's amazing that even the medical practitioners are still trying to understand this aspect of life. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, let's look at the effects, because some people, when they don't know the danger of why they should stop doing something, they probably won't stop doing it. So let's look at the effect. Someone that hasn't slept for a long time, what are the possible effects that person will be looking at?
Okay, thank you very much. And as I said earlier, sleep itself has a way of affecting a lot of systems in the body. And that's why we advise people to get good sleep. Now, some things that studies have shown is that, well, people that have sleep problem, insomnia, they have a high chance of having hypertension, they have a high chance of having heart attacks, they have the high chance of having diabetes, and the high chance of having a stroke, obesity too. And there are some conditions also that have been associated with sleep problems. Okay. People that have sleep problems also have a high chance of abusing and using medications. Anxiety also, when one has sleep problems and all that, and also can affect people's functionality at work. So a lot of things from stroke, hypertension, diabetes, heart attack, and all that, all of them have been associated with sleep. So when people don't sleep, you know, there are times, I'm sure you've heard stories on the media where they will say, oh, this man was walking, he collapsed and died. Yeah. So this is, might have been working, not sleeping well, and he had maybe a silent hypertension, he did not know, and one day he had a heart attack and he died right on the spot.
So there is something else that is very, I don't know if it's common, but it's known. So I want to ask if it's associated with insomnia, and that's sleep paralysis. So is there any connection with the two of them, or are they just two different things on their own?
They are two different things. Sleep paralysis and insomnia are two different things. Now, in sleep problems, it's usually the psychiatrists that see disorders of sleep problem. When we're talking about sleep problems, it's a whole lot, because we have sleep problems that affect the quality of sleep.
Okay.
And we also have sleep problems that affect the quantity of sleep, you know, but that is beyond the scope of what we're talking about, since we're talking about insomnia.
Yeah.
So all that, we have a lot of sleep problems, because there are some other sleep problems, like, oh, there's something called narcolepsy. There's an obstructive sleep apnea. We have nightmares. Nightmares is not really a sleep problem.
Okay.
We also have what we call circadian rhythm-related. So sleep problem is a whole lot. Now, what happens in sleep paralysis? Now, basically, what happens in sleep paralysis is, like, you know, how do I put it? I'm trying to use simple terminology. Okay, now, the way the body it works is, like, when you are sleeping, we have different phases of sleep. And that's why when we are doing a test for patients and we connect stuff to them, at various points of sleep, we have non-REM sleep and REM sleep. So at various points of sleep, there are some activities that happen.
Okay.
For example, rapid eye blinking, your dreams and all that happens during what we call REM sleep. REM sleep means rapid eye motion, you understand? Now, what happens is also at some point in your sleep, there is a way the body kind of relaxes all the muscles. I'm trying my best to explain in simple terms.
Yes.
Because you are sleeping, the body has to, like, relax, muscle, relax everything for you to sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some part of the brain that controls that also. Now, in sleep paralysis, when you have a problem of that part and they're not like firing well, so basically what happens is that you are sleeping, you are you're meant to be relaxed. So let's say now you had a bad dream. Mm-hmm. You're trying to now wake up, but part of the body are still relaxing the body. So it's like you're trying to be awake, but you are in that phase where all your muscles are relaxed.
Very relaxed. So you cannot get up.
I don't know if you get it.
Yeah.
Because when you sleep, I mean, your hands are not moving up and down, your legs, yes, are not jumping, right? It's normal. Mm. Well, in this case, because of what I just explained, maybe you had a bad dream or something, or just, you understand, and those parts of the brain are still firing. So you want to get up, like it's like you're trying to be conscious, you want to get up, but because of that part is still relaxing the body, thinking you are having normal sleep,
mm-hmm,
you are like, I can't get up, am I dead? You understand? So it's like a conscious while being unconscious,
yeah,
something like that.
Mm. Conscious while being unconscious. Okay. Now, yeah, okay. So I get the difference now.
Mm. Yes. And insomnia is just problems with sleeping. You're not having enough sleep. You're not getting like the 6 to 8 hours of sleep. You're sleeping like 2 hours, or you can't even sleep. Some people cannot even initiate the sleep. They can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have trouble sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. So some people argue that sometimes they sleep for 8 hours and they don't get enough sleep, and sometimes they sleep for like 2 hours and they get enough sleep. So will you say that to someone that sleeps for 2 hours and has enough sleep is okay for that person to just, or do we still force the 8 hours of sleep, or how do we balance the two of them?
Oh, a very nice question. So like I said earlier, for medically and scientifically speaking, for the body to get refreshed by sleep, you need at least 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some medical conditions, and because of what is going on in the body, the person won't be sleeping well, but because they have like some mental health problems or anything, or some, mm-hmm, other medical condition, they will feel those short hours of sleep are getting them refreshed. For example, there's something called bipolar disorder, which you know,
okay,
and you have what is called mania, which is, mm-hmm, like a manic phase of bipolar disorder. There are different types of bipolar disorder. These are mental, yeah, health, psychiatric.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone that has mania has a lot of energy. They are always happy. They,
yeah,
they are just
energetic people.
Energetic. You understand? So they are very energetic, and they will tell you, I only sleep 2 hours and I feel refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because the person is in a manic phase or has some form of mania. But, mm-hmm, that's not ideal. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that whole feeling refreshed because of the 2 hours sleepy hard because there's an underlying medical condition. Someone that has anxiety disorder also might say, I slept 2 hours, I'm feeling refreshed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not normal. It's not normal for the body. The body is a dynamic, has a dynamic structure, and things have been put in place. And 2 hours of sleep in 24 hours is not enough and not,
yeah,
advice for everybody. Whether you're a business CEO, a motivational speaker that keeps telling people they should not sleep because or anything, it's not, yeah, advisable.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, you are the professional here, so we are listening to you now. So
yes,
if you're out there and you think 2 hours of sleep, whether you think is enough or not, it's not advisable. So if you've slept for 2 hours and your body is telling you to stand up, no, sit down there, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Rest, so, your body needs it. So let's,
yeah,
just look at some of the foods. I mean, you've talked about alcohol, smoking, and all of those things that we should stop if we want to correct this disorder. But what are other foods that someone could take that can help sleep?
Okay. Well, I'm not a dietitian, so,
yeah,
I might not be able to say much about the foods that can help you sleep. But I feel that once you don't have stimulants in your food, you know, some people put also of things in their food, can like, and coffee, like I alluded to also,
yeah,
is a drink. Other stimulant drink, energy drinks and all that, they should be taken out of people's diet, people's meals and all that. But for food, well, I can really categorically say I'm not sure of if there are some foods that will make you not to sleep, except these are things that have stimulants added to them. But I don't think there really is some, maybe say if you eat rice, you will not sleep. I don't think there are foods like that that would make you not sleep. But what I just mentioned earlier is try not to eat late at night.
Okay.
Because if you eat late at night, the whole process of going on can mess up with your sleep, because the body is going to have to trying to digest, shunt blood, and the old metabolic stuff also, you know, can mess with your sleep. So it's good not to eat very late at night.
But there's this argument that people also put up. Some say they don't sleep at night, but they sleep during the day. Some say, you know, those timings, does it affect sleep disorder, or is it okay as long as you get 8 hours in a day, whether it's night, day, or whatever?
Okay. I think this is a very nice question, and I think it's good we address this. You know, one thing I mentioned earlier, that when you sleep, there's a hormone is produced in the body, and the name is melatonin. The hormone is usually produced at night.
Yeah,
not melatonin. So if you're not sleeping at night, if you're sleeping during the day, that melatonin is not going to be produced. Now that melatonin is involved in helping your memory, is involved in a lot of things in the body. So that means if you are depriving yourself of sleep at night, but you're trying to sleep during the day, that effect of melatonin is still not going to be there, because melatonin is very, very important in the physiology, daily physiology of the human body. So you've distorted the normal cycle. So if you say you don't want to sleep, it's still not advisable. Usually the night is the best time to sleep.
Sleep at night. But then it's still okay to take some naps during the day, but night is
yeah, I mean, you can take a nap. You can take a nap during the day, but nights should also sleep well at night, because it's good. That's the way the body has been designed. The body was not really designed to have the major sleep during the day, because, like I said, melatonin is not produced during the day. It's produced in the darkness. And let's be honest, the darkest time of the day is at night.
Yeah.
Except during the day, the person covers the whole house or whatever, you understand. Yeah, I mean, you can get darkness in the house, but natural darkness, I mean, would come at night.
Night, true. Can someone actually oversleep? Is there anything like people oversleeping? Is there anything like that?
Oh, yes. So there's something called, just like I have insomnia, there's hypersomnia also, is good. Yes, and you know, any of these sleep problems, it becomes worrisome when they affect like your day-to-day living, your lifestyle and all that. Uh-huh. So because you can be sleeping a lot, because someone that is jobless might sleep more than goes to work. That does not mean he has a problem, because it's not affecting the person's day-to-day life. This person has no job, so he can't sleep all day. Do you agree with me?
Yeah,
but imagine you have someone that is sleeping so much, and when he even gets to work, maybe a receptionist and he sleeps off on duty, that's going to get worrisome, and you can have what we call hypersomnia. There's something also called narcolepsy also. So narcolepsy, it's a sleep problem also, and you find the patient, they can have what we call daytime sleepiness. So this person will not just come to work. Maybe they are just talking to you. Okay, you just imagine a doctor, as we're having this conversation, I just slip off like that. It's a problem. I have so you have that, and there's something called some kind of hallucinations. They will have hypnagogic and hypnopompic, but I won't go to that. That's very medical. But there's hypersomnia, which is of sleeping too much, and there's something also called narcolepsy, where they could have a problem and they are sleeping so much during the day. And they're sleeping so much during the day because they don't get to have a refreshing night's sleep. So the body is trying to compensate by them sleeping during the day. And it then starts to affect their lifestyle, their day-to-day living and all, and becomes a medical problem.
Wow. So, however, I believe if this is the case, just go through everything and every of the preventive measures we've talked about, and that should handle the hypersomnia too, right?
Oh yes.
Wow, this is when
people have sleep problems, people don't know that they can actually see the psychiatrist. You know, there's a lot of the problems Nigerians have, and they don't know there are specialists available for all these things. We have people that, and a lot of people don't even know there are sleep tests. A lot of people do still say, I've never heard about that.
Oh, really?
So we have something called polysomnography that you can actually use to, you know, detect a lot of sleep problems. There are people that are trained to treat. I'm not trained to handle people that have sleep. So if I have a a patient, and you know, I'm in internal medicine. I'm in internal medicine. So I have a patient after maybe patient hypertensive. I've treated my patient. Patient with doctor, I just want to talk to you about I am sleeping and all. I'm not sleeping well. First of all, I'll do, you know, do the counseling and all that about the sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. Now, the patient comes back, that, oh, doctor, this. So, I mean, there are some short-term medications I could prescribe, but once it's the patient is coming back, I refer the person because they are, yes, they are specialists. Mm-hmm. My own specialty is not to handle sleep problems. You understand? There are people that their own specialty is to handle sleep problems. And we have the sleep therapist, the psychiatrists, they are the ones that handle a lot of sleep problems and they know what to do with that.
Wow. Now, are there possibilities of insomnia in children? And if there are, how do you go about it? Because these are children.
Well, I would say it is possible, you understand, but I'm not a pediatrician. But insomnia is not something that is very common in children. I mean, children are just playing up and down. So if you notice that most of what we said, it has a lot to do with the lifestyle, even though some medical conditions can do that. Yeah, children might have sleep problems, and usually this will manifest like the child is having difficulty sleeping and all that. And so some children, maybe when they get to wake up during sleep, they have problems sleeping. And there are also child psychiatrists that handle the sleep. So children too can have sleep problems, but it's commoner in adults and the elderly people in comparison with children. So we don't really find a lot of children that have sleep problems, but it can actually happen.
Wow. Wow, this has really been very enlightening. I mean, I didn't even know that there are specialists when it comes to sleep disorders and sleep problems. Wow, this is like very enlightening for myself too. And I'm very sure a lot of people are going to find this very helpful, because sometimes we go through a lot of things and we don't even know where to seek help. We don't even know where to go to and seek help. Because I've heard a lot of people say, hey, I don't sleep night, but I sleep in the day. But at least now we can tell, no, night is night and you should sleep at night, right? So thank you, Dr. Lucino. This has really been very enlightening. And thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing with us. Thank you so much.
Yes, and just to say, if for those of your listeners, I tweet a lot of medical stuff on Twitter.
Yes.
I try and engage people. So if you have questions, sometimes I do health sessions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they could tap into a question on health. I usually will, you know, quote answer and then, you know, engage and build a discuss around it. So if you also are interested in, you know, things that have to do with health, medical, and all that, I do a lot of that on social media also as an influencer. Yeah.
So to even make it easy, I'm going to leave a link on the description of the episode, your Twitter link. I think you're very active on Twitter more.
I'm more active on Twitter, very active, kind of.
So I'll leave your Twitter link on the description so it's easy for anyone to connect with you from here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
My pleasure being on your podcast. I'm glad you invited me. Thank you so much for coming.
Have a good day, Dr. Shindo. Okay, people, that was Dr. Olushina with us, and we talked about sleep disorder, insomnia, and I'm sure you had an amazing time listening to it. This has been Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anyoji, and until I come your way next week, make sure you get enough sleep, make sure you allow your body rest and get refreshed. Have a good day, guys. Have a beautiful week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.